In Chinese folklore, omens attended the passing of an emperor. The same went for earthquakes. Nature, according to numerous accounts gathered afterwards, knew what was coming. Dogs bit their owners or refused to go indoors. Chickens flapped their wings, trying to fly. Dragonflies flew in swarms 100 meters long. Horses broke out of the halters. Cats clawed at mosquito netting, trying to wake their owners. Some of these accounts stretch credibility. Did goldfish really leap from their tanks that afternoon, for instance, and scream when put back? Were rats found with their tails tangled together in the fields? Did 100 weasels swarm into a village, with the old carrying the young on their backs? Probably not. Even the most plausible stories may have been the usual animal eccentricities, exaggerated in retrospect. Still, there were signs, though many of them remain mysterious, or may have had nothing to do with the upcoming quake at all. The Qinglong earthquake teams had seen them, after all, and made the right call. The first were in the sky. Earthquake lights are a well-documented, but almost completely unexplained phenomenon. The best theories involve magnetic disruptions, the release of gases from the Earth, or the creation of sudden, intense electrical fields, but the possible mechanisms involved are little understood. Before the quake, farmers saw red lights and fireballs in the sky. And when the earthquake hit, the flash over Tangshan was visible 110 kilometers away. Near the port of Qinhuangdao, northeast of Tangshan, a swimmer saw a fantastic band of light under the water, like a procession of torches. It was gone in an instant. Radio stations nearby detected strange magnetic waves. Disconnected light bulbs flashed to life. A pale yellow fog drifted over the mining district. Village ponds dried up overnight in some spots and overflowed in others, or shot up water spouts. The fish in the Dohe Reservoir, 15 kilometers northeast of Tangshan, were so thick on the surface that local fishermen filled their nets with ease. Some people heeded the warnings. Jiang Wenzhong was a 39-year-old barber and father of seven, living in the city's eastern suburbs. He had a sudden urge for ice cream early in the morning and went over to a neighbor's shop to buy some. His neighbor urged him onto the roof. "Look at that," he said, pointing out red flashes to the east of the city. Neither of them had any idea what they could be, but it disturbed Jiang enough that he was still awake when the earthquake hit, giving him long enough to grab his kids and get out of the house. But for most people, it was an ordinary day. At 3:40 in the morning, most were still asleep. The weather was stiflingly hot, and many Tangshanese had been sleeping outside, a common habit in the summer when people would stretch out mats and hammocks by their homes. A burst of rain at about 11 o'clock in the evening put paid to that, and families hurried indoors. There were already people out that early in the morning. Long-distance truck drivers were loading up iron, steel, and coal. In the bus station, the militia was patrolling to keep out countryside vagabond criminals, wanderers without a residence permit looking for a chance in the city. The buses and trains ran all through the night, and so did the little stalls selling cigarettes, booze, and sweets to travellers. The mines ran 24 hours a day, and so did some of the factories where restarting a heavy furnace or boiling cauldron of steel every morning would be a waste of time and energy. Food workers were preparing breakfast for the first shifts in the factories, while old men practiced Tai Chi in the park. A few farmers had come in early, getting ready to sell their products to eager shoppers. This kind of private trade was still a very grey area, if not a black one, but common nonetheless. Many street corners had a straw-hatted hawker standing on them with a basket of eggs or a cluster of fish. Others were working within the system, hauling wheelbarrows to the government purchasing stations. It could be a long walk, and it was best to set out early in order to get back for other work later. In the countryside, a few unlucky, or so they thought at the time, farmers were still working in the fields. One farming brigade had a recently promoted leader, and he was so taken with his new role that he kept them up all night, even after the electricity failed and the mechanical thresher gave out at midnight. He forced his team to sit around waiting till the electricity came back on at 2 in the morning, grumbling and complaining. At 3:42 and 53 seconds in the morning, the earthquake struck. At 3:43 and 16 seconds, it was over. For millennia, the rocks beneath Tangshan had been straining against each other, pushed by the westward movement of the Pacific Plate. Now, in one terrible instant, their built-up energy was released, a 150-kilometer-long fault line rupturing beneath the earth. The 23 seconds of the earthquake were probably the most concentrated instant of destruction humanity has ever known. In Tangshan alone, it did more damage than either Hiroshima or Nagasaki, more damage than the firebombings of Dresden or Hamburg or Tokyo, more damage than the explosion at Krakatoa. It took more lives in one fraction of northeast China than the 2004 tsunami did across the whole of the Indian Ocean. The actual strength of the earthquake itself was not remarkable. 7.8 on the Richter scale. Terrifying, but not that rare. It was the speed, timing, and placing of the quake that made it so devastating.